please turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Tomorrow, Monday, September 11th, many people will be remembering the 16th anniversary of 9-1-1. September 11th attacks, also referred to as 9-1-1, were a series of coordinated terrorist attacks. Attacks by the Islamic group named Al-Qaeda on the United States on the morning of Tuesday, September 11th, 2001. The attacks killed 2,997 people, injured over 6,000 others, and caused at least $10 billion of property damage and infrastructure damage around there. Four passenger airliners departed from the airports in the northeastern United States that were bound for California. They were hijacked, taken over by 19 Al-Qaeda terrorists. Two of the planes, American Airlines Flight 11 and American Airlines Flight 175, were crashed into the North and South Towers. The World Trade Center complex in New York City, those towers, within 1 hour and 42 minutes, both collapsed. And falling debris and resulting fires caused partial or complete collapse of other buildings that were in the World Trade Center complex. A third plane, American Airlines Flight 77, was crashed into our nation's Pentagon. A fourth plane, United Airlines Flight 93, was initially steered towards Washington, D.C., but instead ended up crashing in a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, after the passengers tried to overcome the hijackers. 9-1-1 was the single most deadly incident in United States history for firefighters and law enforcement officers, which resulted in the death of around 415 of those first-line responders. But maybe the most famous of the unexpected heroes of 9-1-1 was a 32-year-old Oracle salesman named Todd Beamer. Now, this determined Christian on Flight 93, which was the fourth airliner, called up a Verizon airphone operator as he tried to find out what was going on. And when he found out what was happening, he prayed the Lord's Prayer with her over the phone. And afterwards, he added, "Jesus, help me." And then she could hear him saying, "Let's roll." And led half a dozen other men to their deaths while stopping the terrorists from harming our nation's capital by downing their plane in a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Todd Beamer left behind two children, a pregnant wife, and a nation full of grateful admirers. That's why Jesus said in the book of John that greater love has no man than this, than he who lays his life down for one another or his friends. How far would you go if you were placed in that line of fire? In Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 31 reads, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you've turned again, strengthen your brothers." I want to speak to you this morning about something that happened in our nation that goes right along with the scripture we just read. It was September 11th, or 9-1-1, in 2001, a date that we'll all remember, when 2,997 Americans lost their lives in the Twin Towers, the terrorist attack. 6,000 were injured. And then, of course, the wars that followed afterwards in Afghanistan and Iraq, another approximately 6,800 were injured or killed, the best count of the beginning of 2015. And all could be traced back to one man and his diabolical plan. He was in his 50s. He was the son of a billionaire, and he hated the Western world, and he hated Christianity. And the FBI and CIA put on him a certain label. And that label in their world, it's called an HVT, which stands for High Value Target, Osama bin Laden became an HVT, a high-value target, and placed in the Western world's line of fire. He made the FBI and the CIA most wanted list for 13 years. And they diligently tried seeking after him, trying to find him. He went into hiding, and he became isolated and secluded, and he refused to use a cell phone. He would never go on the internet. And while secluded in his hiding place, he wouldn't even allow his garbage to be taken out. But rather, he had a certain way of disposing of his trash, and because he didn't want any traces of his existence anywhere. And after some time, after searching without any great success, the U.S. government put out a $25 million reward on Osama bin Laden. And then later, the American Airlines Association offered an additional $2 million reward, which was a total of $27 million reward for him, to anyone who could give information or who could lead them to this terrorist leader. Now, you may think you have friends, but if they put a $27 million reward on you, your friendship circles are going to get very, very small, very, very quick. And they knew Al-Qaeda, the terrorist organization, and how it operated. It operated through carriers. And there, around the area of Pakistan, there was one common denominator person who kept showing up on their radar. I mean, for years, 13 years, the FBI and CIA, thousands of agents were searching and researching and trying to find this man, this high-value target, and place him in the line of fire, which is the title of my message today. They had secret agents. They had CIA agents who disguised themselves, even being part of Al-Qaeda. And for 24 hours a day, thousands of men and women worked around the clock for 13 years to try to find this one man. And one name kept cropping up. One name kept surfacing in the circles in an area near Pakistan. He was a carrier, and hundreds of agents began to be deployed secretly in order to watch this man, to follow this man, and to check everything he did, every movement he made. He was tracked. And finally, by the year 2010, they found and located him. After 24 hours a day surveillance, he made one vital mistake. He used a cell phone, which he wasn't supposed to do. And when he did that, he made a call, and they were able to trace that call to a place in Pakistan. And he'd been carrying that cell phone along with him, and he'd gotten relaxed in the place that he was located, and he thought that this one time on his smartphone, it was the only reason that America could get Osama bin Laden. You better watch that little smartphone and what you do with it, because even though it's a smartphone, it sometimes can allow us to do some not so smart things. But they begin to study this carrier's patterns, the mistakes he made, and they traced it down to a compound in Pakistan. And once that location was traced, they used heat-seeking cameras, and they began to notice that there was a tall, slim man in that compound, and he would only come out at night. He'd come out at night, and he'd stretch his legs, and he would get some fresh air, and they thought it was strange that he would only come out at night, never in the daylight. And they were able to pinpoint his bedroom that was located on the third floor of the compound, and they knew which bed he slept in. And through heat-seeking cameras, they knew that he had some security officers around him that had weapons. And so they knew that this was someone unusual. And they watched and studied when the security was most sparse around him by continually watching him. And you know, you and I have an enemy. According to this passage we read about Jesus talking to Simon Peter, and he said, Satan has desired to have you. You are a high-value target. You're placed in the line of fire. You're someone who the enemy is after, and every day he wants you. He's looking for your weak points. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your message. He wants to destroy your purpose. He wants to destroy your calling. And so you got to watch out for that. But every day, they would watch this man, and when they finally located him, They were convinced that this was the terrorist that they knew who he was, Osama bin Laden. And they sent in 4 helicopters carrying Navy SEAL teams full of elite warriors. The best, the smartest, the most dangerous, those guys who were trained to kill. And they sent them in after this high-value target who was in the line of fire, and they got him. Simon, Jesus said, Satan has desired to have you. You are in the line of fire, Peter. You are a high-value target. You're not just any disciple, but you have been given the keys to the kingdom. You need to be careful, Simon, on what you allow into your life, because Satan has labeled you and placed you in the line of fire. Peter, you've got a revelation of who Jesus is. And there are people here today, perhaps in this room, that need to understand this, that the more you know about God, and the longer that you walk with God, and the more Bible that you read, and the more revelation that you understand, is when you're labeled as an HVT of hell and placed in the line of fire. You make hell's most wanted list. You're an enemy's HVT, and he wants to place those in the line of fire. He loves committed church families. He loves their children. He loves second and third generation Christian families. He loves to get those families about the third or fourth generation and take out a high value target and place them in the line of fire and begin to change that blessing on that family into a curse, into something that brings about pain and hurt. Please understand this, that if you know the word, you can't relax. I mean, I've been in church a long time, and you just can't relax. And if you've been in church in a long time, you can't relax. It actually makes you a high-value target and placed in the line of fire. Young people, college students, young adults, I warn you today with all that I can tell you that you are a high-value target to the enemy. You know how to pray. You know the truth. You know the name of Jesus. You know the power of salvation. And you are wanted by hell. Hell's sending its best forces after you. Hell's version of the Navy elite SEALs are coming after you. And I don't normally like talking about hell. I mean, because there's just too many blessed things about the word to talk about. But the truth is, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And the enemy is sending his best to place high-value targets in the line of fire. And Jesus said to Peter, hell is sending them to sift you. And the word sift means to separate. When you sift wheat, you shake it. And you shake it. And you shake it until the sifting is done and there's a separation. And the sifting that the enemy wants to do to those who are in his target is to separate you from church. To separate you from those special friends. Those who you worship with. From a mom and dad that love God and love God and do good and go to church. To separate you from your pastors. To separate you from those spiritual voices who mentor you in your life. And to get you away from the right people and to get you connected with the wrong people. To separate you from those who can make you strong and hell's trying to sift you. Trying to pull you away. And he doesn't care how much it costs either. If America didn't care how much $27 million costs to find one terrorist, what makes you think the enemy would care what it cost him to find you, to get you out of your purpose, to get you out of your calling, to get you out of your destiny? And he'll do whatever he can and whatever it takes to make you do one thing. And that one thing is to silence you, to take away your faith, to condemn your character, to embarrass you, to ruin your testimony. And once you're targeted and placed in the line of fire, he'll touch you in your core being and tell your spirit and your very soul, silence. Jesus warned Peter in this statement. He said, there's all kinds of bait that the enemy's going to use against you. Because you're wanted by hell. You're targeted. And you're the one hell wants. You're the most wanted right now. Because his attempt was to do one thing to Peter, who was to usher in the new church that would change the entire world. And that was to silence him. He tried to do it with a rooster, so he would ever, forever hear that crowing in the back of his mind every time and reminding him that he denied his Savior. And the devil wants you so bad. If you're an usher, if you're a praise worshiper, if you're a singer, if you're a soul winner, if you're a musician, if you're a Bible class teacher, if you're even a children's worker or a prayer intercessor, if you're a young person who's living for Christ and has character and integrity about yourself, anyone who's living for Christ and trying daily to put to death the flesh, then you're a high-value target. And even if you're standing strong on morality and standing strong and keeping your path right in your walk with Jesus, the enemy says, let's target them and place them in the line of fire. If we can take them down, if we can take their name down and their character down, then what it'll do is it'll have a domino effect on many other people in their circles and whoever they have influence with. Hell is reaching for you, and the enemy will stop at no cost in doing everything he can to take you out. There was a documentary not too long ago on professional snake handlers that milk snakes. I don't know why you'd want to milk a snake if you're not a professional snake handler, but this guy's label was a professional snake handler, and apparently that there are several snake handlers that he trains, and this is what the show is about on National Geographic. I mean, can you imagine being an amateur snake handler and having to milk a rattlesnake? I don't think that one of those things are on my bucket list. I don't know about yours, but what I found interesting was out of everything he spoke about in training these snake handlers, he said that most of the snake bites happen to them, speaking of the amateur snake handlers, he said, is when you go to put the snake down, not when you pick it up. And to parallel that to life, you better be careful what you pick up. Because it's easy to pick things up in life that harm you physically or mentally or spiritually, but when you go to put it down, it can strike you. And we need to be careful because we're all high-valued targets who can easily be put in the line of fire. And the enemy is studying us. And he wants to watch us. And he's studying our habits. And he wants to pull us out of our safety zone. The safety zone being God's house. The safety zone being the Word of God. The safety zone being good counsel from moms and dads and spiritual people. Those people in your life who love you, the devil studying every preacher, the devil studying every mom, every dad, every committed believer and disciple to further the kingdom of God. He's studying those who are beginning their walk with Christ. He's studying those who are even well seasoned in Christ. And he knows you better than you know yourself because he studies your movements. He studies your instincts. He studies your associations. He studies your friendships, the music that you listen to, the movies that you watch, the websites that you visit, the things on our smartphones, the things we post on social media. All of these things he watches. I mean, I marvel at the patience of hell. How the enemy will wait and wait and wait, and he'll bait you and he'll bait you until he finally lures you out of your safety zone. Because he watches our desires and our patterns. In Acts chapter 19, Paul was a chosen vessel. And the reason that the enemy has declared that you and I are a high-value target, or we also are a chosen vessel, according to the New Testament. I really believe preachers are in the line of fire. Specifically, according to Matthew 26:31, Jesus says, "You will all fall away of me because of this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Church fights. Someone getting hurt emotionally or spiritually. It's a commonality in many of today's churches. And when someone gets offended because of a misunderstanding and chooses to leave the church or chooses to leave the fellowship, the world can devour them once they do this. 1 Peter 5:8 warns us that the enemy goes around prowling like a lion, seeking who he can devour. Now is the time to hold up our pastors, our wives, our Church Connect Bible study group leaders, to pray for them, or marriages, pray for their children, pray for their families. Why? Because they're wanted by hell. They're high-value targets placed in the line of fire to be silenced. And the enemy would love to mess them up. Enemy would love to mess me up. Enemy would love to mess Pastor Adam up. He'll do whatever it takes to take his finger, to place it on our souls, and to say silence. And once that happens, he knows it can have a domino effect that will affect a lot of other church families. But according to our word, 1 John 4:4 assures us that you are from God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Samson was a prime example of one who was in the line of fire. He was a special man. He was unlike any other man in Israel. The Bible said that he had the power of God. But Samson was being stalked. Samson was being studied. He was being watched, and plotting and planning was taking place. And he had no idea that every time he laid his head in Delilah's lap, they were studying him. Standing off in the shadow, somebody, a Philistine, was taking all the notes on the weaknesses that he had. Every tendency, everything that he was doing. And then finally, Delilah ended up giving him the most expensive haircut in human history. And he lost his power. His mother and father tried to warn him. God tried to warn him. He should have woke up and should have understood what was taking place. How did the enemy get him? They got him when he started dating a Philistine. And any time you get in an unequally yoked situation with friendships or people or dating relationships with an unbeliever, then that's a sign that the enemy has declared that you're a high-value target, and I'm going to place you in the line of fire. Judas was a high-value target. He was one of the original 12. He was in the inner circle. And how would the enemy get him? But through greed and the love of money. For 30 pieces of silver. I've watched a lot of years in my years of serving God, and it seems like the more God blesses someone, the less they have to look towards their spiritual walk to keep it strong and to keep it fortified. Some become blessed amazingly through financial reasons, and some are blessed relationally. Perhaps they're looking for a mate. God sends them a mate. Others are blessed with good health by having been healed from an affliction or a medical complication. But if you don't keep that connection with God, the enemy will slip in and place you in the line of fire. He'll attack you at the least likely time that you expected as well. I mean, you could stay up all night waiting for the devil. He ain't going to show up. He'll show up when you least likely expect it. Because you're a high-value target. And the enemy, he loves to go for the heart. A tender area. Somewhere where you're the most sensitive. He'll mess a marriage up. He'll mess your children up. He'll let that word that has been said to you that offended you stick in your spirit and soul for years. Let's not let that happen. I believe today that the power of God and the Word of God is our greatest defense. I mean, Peter had all kinds of problems. Cussed, sliced a guy's ear off, messed up all kinds of ways, even went so far as to denying our Lord. But our loving Savior Jesus, who gives second and third and fourth and many chances, still, even after all of that, still tells Peter, "You're in the line of fire." And then he makes this powerful, profound statement. He says, "Satan has desired to sift you, but I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not." And you know, we can fall and fail and mess up and all kinds of stuff like that, but that doesn't mean your faith has to fall and fail and mess up. I mean, it's not that we'll ever measure up to be perfect, but keep your faith intact. Because Proverbs 24:16 assures us that a righteous man falls seven times and then rises up again. Many of you who maybe remember in the late 90s the band Chumbawamba, when they sang their song off their Tub Thumper album, "I get knocked down, but I get up again. You ain't never going to knock me down or take me down." I mean, you got to get back up. You got to dust yourself off and keep going, because the enemy is never satisfied. But I've come to you to declare today that Isaiah 54:17 states that no weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment, He, speaking of God, will condemn. The attempts and failures and plots that your enemy tries to come after you with. When the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Isaiah 59:19 says, "So they will fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising sun, for He will come in like a rushing stream which the wind of the Lord drives." And then also in Romans 5:20 it says, "Where sin is increased, grace is much more abound." And here's what I want you to get today. If you feel like you're under attack, if you feel like you're dealing with things that you've never had to deal with before, and you feel like you've made hell's most wanted list, making you a high-value target in the line of fire, here's God's word for you today. Jesus is our intercessor, our high priest, and He's praying for you this very day. He's not sitting up there with His arms folding saying, "I wonder how He's going to get out of this one." He's praying for you every day. When you feel like giving up, when you feel like you can't go on, just know that He lives to make intercession for both you and I. And we're going to make it. But sometimes you need to come to church to get your thinking right, to get your head back on straight, and to understand that you need to be awakened and to be fully alert. Because this is an hour that if you go to sleep spiritually, the enemy will take you out. If he doesn't take you out, he'll take someone out in your family. But I believe today that there's power in the blood of Jesus. And that power can absolutely cause us to overcome all of the power of the enemy. There's no scheme in hell that's going to work if we're connected. Psalms 91:1-2 states this: "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress and God, of whom I trust." And you don't have to fall, and you don't have to fail. And I really feel this for teenagers. I really feel this for college students, and really feel this for dads and moms and young adults, your high value targets. Those of you who are committed, you, your family, your children, they're trophies to be taken. And the enemy would love to take you out, because not only that, when he takes you out, it doesn't affect you only, but it affects everyone around you that you have an influence with. But we won't fail, and we won't fall if we're connected to the vine. Jesus said in John 15:5, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And also Paul assures us in the book of Philippians 4:13 that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Do you believe that? Jesus reminded Peter of his purpose, of his call, and his plan for his life. Maybe there's some here today who need to reboot. Maybe you need to refresh to make things right with Him. And you can because of the cross. To acknowledge the need that you have the presence. You need the presence. You need His presence in your life. You can't do this by yourself. Perhaps you feel that you've been targeted and placed in the line of fire. And you need some covering. You need some people to help cover you. We have the power to do that today. We as a church have the power to pray with you. We all need prayer to stand strong. If that's you, as bold as you can, come take a stand and let others pray for you and over you. Maybe some of you have been deciding maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe that's your stand you need to take to battle the enemy. Maybe some of you need to be rededicated. Or rededicate your commitment to Him and take a stand in that way. Because Satan knows how weak you are in your faith and in your commitment. We're a church that stands together to be connected together. And if the Spirit is speaking to you this morning, then come and pray with us. And others will pray with you for encouragement, strength, and faith. And you come as the worship team plays. Father, we pray today in Your name as Your children to stand strong against the enemy. We know He places us in the line of fire. We know He watches over us. He watches our movements. But help us to stand strong with You. We ask Your grace. We ask for Your mercy. We ask for Your power over our lives. We ask to break curses that have been set against us. We ask for the power to break afflictions that have come against us. And our families, our children, all of these things which the enemy seeks to take out. We stand strong today as we come and pray to Your name. Asking for Your power. Asking for forgiveness. Asking for repentance. Asking for strength. Asking to increase our faith. Father, we come today as Your church asking for that. And Father, please grant it unto Your children, because You do not deny Your children the good of that which You give. You do not give us scorpions for bread. You not give us stones for sustenance that we need for our bodies. You are a good Father, a good, good Father that watches over us, that cares for our every need and loves us to our core being, because You know how we really are. You know what goes on inside us. We may say things on the outside that may fool others, but You know us on the inside. And so, Father, speak to us from our core being. Strengthen us, because the enemy is certainly watching us. And we need strength to fight that. Prove Him wrong so He'll move on down the road against someone else, because He knows that we're a soldier of Christ, that we're one of Yours. And if the enemy's sifting us, Father, we ask that You would give us the faith to stand strong. Thank You for praying for our faith. Thank You for being in our corner to stand strong and to lift us up. We thank You for that. Help us to stand strong as Your church. Help us not to be silenced. Committed Christians, people that have given their lives to You for years, who the enemy just wants to silence us, to touch His core being and to silence us. Help us to stand strong, knowing that our faith is in You. Greater is He, or greater are You in us than He who is in the world. And all things work together for the good, for those that love You. Help us to remember that and to stand strong. And knowing that You're continually working in our lives, in our others' lives, in our families. And help us to understand also that it's a process. Nothing quick, it's a process. It may take days, it may take weeks, months, even years. But to know that you are at work in our lives and in our families' lives for the greater good. Because your promise never fails, and you've promised us that you will never fail us or forsake us. And help us to hold on with that faith, and with all in our heart, we can say, I know in whom I have believed. I place my faith in you, Jesus, this morning. I place my faith on the blood that you've shed for our sins, to cover us, to make us pure in your holy sight, to make us a holy people. We ask that you would come this morning. If you need prayer or encouragement, so your church family can lift you up in prayer, and to know that we're here for you, to stand by your side. Thank you this morning for coming and worshiping in the house of the Lord. Hope your faith has been increased. Get in the Word. Wake up. Serve God. Serve His kingdom. If you don't serve here at the church, find somewhere to serve. But serve God. We need all the help we can get here at Prayer of Faith. But serve God. If you're not committed yet, get committed. Make a stand and say, this is my church. And don't just hang on the outside saying, wonder what they have for me. But this is your church. Become part of the family. Father, we love you and we praise your holy name. Bless us this week. Keep us safe from the enemy. Hide us in your shadows as you fight for us. The battle's already been won through Jesus. But help us to fight our battles with the enemy. Teach us covering to go, to get out of the line of fire. Teach us how to keep our lives right, to keep our faith strong and pure in you. We love you, Father. You are a good, good Father. And we thank you, Jesus Christ, for the power that you give us, the Holy Spirit that indwells in us. And all the church said, amen. God bless you and have a wonderful week.